We had a story in the news maybe our guest would like to comment on. Samantha Pearson is back, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation Elm Street Manager, and she's the Walk It Bike It Coordinator. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Mark.
Thank you so much for coming in. Very much appreciated. The truck ban in Northumberland has been lifted, so that might give some relief to Lewisburg. That seemed to catch some of the trucks. Lewisburg seemed to be a good logical detour around Northumberland.
Yes, indeed. I was at the Chamber Transportation Committee meeting, I think, 2 months ago when they said this, and it was kind of like, wait, what? but in fact, then at the next meeting, it wasn't quite clear that that was going to be the case. They were sort of de-emphasizing it. So I'm glad to see that it's officially back on the table. As you noted, it won't, everyone else is still getting slammed. And it's also, we're going to have to wait and see how things really, play out, because the signage, I've contended, is not necessarily the whole picture for long-haul truckers moving through the area, right? They're really using navigation systems, and it may be that we've sort of reinforced a loop in those systems of going through Lewisburg, and the algorithms might send them that way now. I think because of the hill and pure number, traffic signal counts, it'll probably send them south if they, if the detour things are lifted. But it remains to be seen. To be honest, I've been trying for the past year or so to try to have PennDOT input the road closures for trucks differently into the systems that Google and other navigation apps mine for. To give you your information, and basically, they need more information than what we've been giving them. Otherwise, you wind up with trucks going through Lewisburg, which was not actually the idea.
Right, absolutely. And I think there is less traffic volume lately in Lewisburg, but there are fewer people living in Lewisburg right at the moment. So
right, it's summer. Help. It's the summer lull anyway.
All right. So that all of that has to be brought up and talked about, and then there will be a limited truck ban in Northumberland later this year, but that doesn't take effect for now.
Right.
So
I know it'll be appreciated by Music in the Park, because it's amazing how, trucks going through Wednesday evenings, just piles of them.
You mean Music in the Park in Lewisburg?
Yes.
Northumberland
has one too, yep.
But the truck level doesn't really bother it too terribly much. All right, so that's one element that popped up in the news lately. The four-foot rule, I think this is very important. You and I are familiar with the four-foot rule, and it involves that individuals in cars and trucks and so on have to stay 4 feet away from bicyclists along roadways.
Yes. It doesn't mean you're always 4 feet away. It means you shouldn't get closer than 4 feet. And so when does that really come up? It comes up when you're passing a cyclist. And, the nitty-gritty of this, it sounds fine to say that. Oh, yeah, give 4 feet to pass. Sure. It's less than... It should be easier than passing a car. It takes some practice. It takes practice and it takes thought. I have actually, Walk It, Bike It reached out to an organization in North Carolina called Bike Walk NC, and they have an amazing website. North Carolina is actually a hotbed of bicycle pedestrian knowledge, research. They're also the site of the Ped Bike Info, which is the Bicycle and Pedestrian Information Center that has a huge amount of research out of the Research Triangle area. So what we've done with Bike Walk NC is borrow one of their posts. With their permission, they have a post on their website called "How to Pass a Bicyclist," and true to many of the posts on the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website, it's got lots of words. That's not how you're supposed to do things now. Like you get all these weird messages from WordPress saying too long, too many words.
Yeah, 24 words is the limit for a paragraph.
Yeah, something like that. So this is long and has many words, so we love it. But it also really breaks things down, and it says, okay, And then if you don't like too many words, it also has several memes that you can borrow, which do sort of break it down still, but in much more concisely. So they actually break it down into three steps. One, slow down. Two, look and wait until safe. And three, change lanes to pass. So, and then they further break those down and talk about what does it mean to slow down? And, you know, how does that actually fit into your drive along your road, or what does that look like? They talk about assured clear distance ahead, which is something whenever we see accidents in the news, people crashing into Amish buggies or farm machinery, right, which certainly happens in Pennsylvania, not that infrequently. What you're seeing is an example of a person who's driving with probably inadequate assured clear distance ahead. Basically, they're not prepared to stop.
Right, they're cresting a hill.
They may be cresting a hill. They might be. It basically, you just have to drive such that you can stop if you need to.
You're not supposed to run into anything ever.
Well, that's true. And so, like, I now have a new driver in my house, but, you know, we spent the last year getting all of his practice hours in. And at one point during, you know, one of our practice drives, we were outside of Penn's Creek and came around a bend, and there was a piece of farm machinery coming towards us across the entire road. And this was an opportunity for me to say, stop, calmly.
Your brake didn't work yes. on your side.
And he did. You know, we were maintaining that assured clear distance ahead, but, you know, we stopped, and there was enough room to sort of squeeze us and this massive piece of farm machinery on the road. But, you know, if you don't drive with that in mind, people will be like, I couldn't stop. Well, then you're doing it wrong. So anyway, this is all just part of that first step, which is slow down. I would also argue this is a key to being able to yield to pedestrians at crosswalks, say in town. You have to consider that the crosswalks could have a pedestrian at them. Doesn't mean you have to inch along, but if you drive slightly slower, around 20 miles an hour through, say, Lewisburg, if there are pedestrians trying to cross at the unsignalized crosswalks, you'll be able to stop for them. And that's just another version of this assured clear distance ahead.
Right, so the 4-foot rule, please.
Right, so you've got the slow down as you approach a bike, then you look and wait until it's safe to pass. And what this means is you don't try to squeeze between the bicyclist and other traffic that's coming towards you. If there isn't enough room to pass within your lane, which is very likely the case, you have to wait until you can move into the other lane. Now, sometimes there's actually a new terminology related to this, because this may mean in some cases you will cross in a no passing zone. Bikes go slower enough than cars that it may be possible to pass them in a no passing zone, but you need to then consider, is there a crest of a hill? Is there a turn? Is there an intersection? You know, a bend in the road, a horizontal bend in the road. Is there an intersection approaching which would make passing here inadvisable? So you look and wait for the conditions that will allow you to safely move into the other lane to pass and move back. We have inserted segments from the Pennsylvania Motor Vehicle Code, Title 75, for clarifying those kinds of things. And then, you know, when you do actually go to pass, you change lanes to pass. So, I mean, there's even a whole video made by the Austin, Texas Police Department. It's fairly nice. I'm not into videos usually, but I went ahead and posted it, hoping that would catch, you know, another category. The people who don't like all the words, they can watch the video. If they do that, they should recognize that other states have different laws. So Pennsylvania law is 4 feet to pass. Texas and North Carolina are both 3 feet to pass. So we've, in the text, adjusted to 4 feet where it's relevant. But the video, we did not adjust the video, obviously.
Well, and the very first thing people have to do is just watch out for bicyclists. Most motorists aren't paying attention to anything. You know, they're just on the phone and playing with the radio and what have you, and then they look up every once in a while.
Well, and it doesn't, even if they only look down once in a while, it doesn't take very long, right? One of the things that people have studied is that cyclists just present such a small profile that motorists literally often don't see them. They're focused on the middle of the lane, and so they don't notice something over on the side of the lane. So the North Carolina website also, and their organization focuses on things like proper lane position for bikes. Bikes may not be hugging the edge of the road, in part to make themselves more visible. They may say if they're riding in a group, you'll see bikes are allowed to ride two abreast. And actually riding two abreast also makes them, their group, as wide as a car. And they may be easier to see. In addition, if you think about it, say 10 bikes riding two abreast is a much smaller group to pass than a long line of individual bikes. So it's actually, people often grumble, oh, there's this big pack of bikes. Well, think about it. You're going to have a harder time properly passing that long string of bikes. You may actually have to pass some of them, merge into them, mm-hmm. right? Which can be, don't just do that. You have to see if you can, if they make space, because they're also looking at the road. They're on the same road you're on. They see the oncoming traffic, things like that. I think you've alluded to, I had an experience recently.
Well, we're going to have to hold that. Sure, but sure. You had a close call, and so we'll talk about that. Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg is on Facebook, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Organization, LewisburgNeighborhoods.org, the website that you can use as a clearinghouse. Samantha Pearson, here's we're going to talk about her almost no good for nothing rotten very bad day, and certainly a day with a lot of nerve-wracking elements to it when she had a close call while riding her bicycle. So we'll talk about that, and we are going to talk about an upcoming bike ride in Lewisburg around the floodplain. So should be very informative to folks in and around Lewisburg that monitor this kind of thing. So that's coming up. We just talked about the four-foot rule as well. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK. In the studio, Samantha Pearson here, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation, Elm Street Manager. Do we ever talk about Elm Street? We never mentioned that.
Well, and it is a little bit of a, it's sort of fading away, but it's still in my email address.
Oh, okay. Well, fabulous. Okay, so we'll talk about Elm Street another day. But a lot has been accomplished there under that hat, so we appreciate that. Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg, the topic of our occasional Thursday discussions here on WDKOK Sunrise. So we appreciate her coming in to help with that. When we last spoke, we talked about the fact that you had a close call while riding.
Yeah, so I like to do these things that I call pedal paddles, where I both do some canoeing or kayaking, and then instead of shuttling with cars, I do one of the directions back to my car on a bike. So I was doing something similar. I was actually floating and paddling. I did tubing and pedaled. And on the way back from that, I got... Well, at the time, I thought I'd been maybe buzzed by a car intentionally. In retrospect, I've decided that basically it was someone attempting to pass me and doing a really bad job of it. So on Route 45, on the way back, there was just a little stretch where I had to be on Route 45 between basically the western end of Mifflinburg, and a pickup truck with a pile of kayaks in the back went past me and then swerved fully all the way onto the shoulder. You know, it has a wide buggy ready shoulder there. It was entirely on the shoulder, and in the process of sort of not just swerving back towards the right, but they also cut back in front of me too soon so that they practically hit me in the head with one of those kayaks. But I really think there just wasn't space to pass. They misjudged. They tried to change lanes, and then they overcompensated and swung way out into the shoulder. I don't think it was an intentional effort to, I mean, which does happen, buzzing people, throwing things at them, you know, going up right behind them and honking and things like that. People
sort of
do,
harassment.
Yeah, people do those things. I think this was an earnest attempt to do the right thing, gone not horribly wrong, but almost horribly wrong.
And certainly too fast on the part
right.
of the driver.
Right. So what did they not do? They didn't slow down, number one. Number two, they didn't wait for a safe place to pass. There was actually a fair amount of traffic on Route 45 at the time. Now, 45 does, in many cases, have these wide shoulders. The wide shoulder can allow you, depending on the position of the cyclist, to get your 4 feet in without crossing the yellow line, but not always. You know, and you can't assume the cyclist is going to hug the far edge of the pavement. There may be debris, obstacles, you know, all sorts of stuff. The cyclist is entitled to the road as well, so you have to work with what you're presented with. So that's one, another reason I was inspired to be like, we need to talk about this again. Mm-hmm. And again and again.
Boy, oh boy. Well, I didn't miss the irony on your Facebook page when you talked about the fact that, you know, your humble narrator on that page, primarily you, often talking about bike safety, experienced a very, very scary moment for you.
Right. I mean, it made me think. I have a cousin who was riding a bike with a friend when he got sideswiped by a car and killed, you know, so it did. It was a brush with mortality. And people will say, well, it's just unsafe for you to ride. My argument is the streets are supposed to be safe for everyone. So let's work on making that the reality.
All right. So lesson learned there. The 4-foot rule is something that we were planning to talk about anyway today. And this is that cars have to stay, or vehicles have to stay at least 4 feet away from cars. The cars have to stay away that far away from bicycles. No matter what it takes to do it, even if it means slow down, waiting to pass, waiting till the bike finally says, okay, I give up, I'm going to let these guys go.
Well, and actually, so that's a good point. You may, some people, like this happens on Stein Lane, there just isn't room for all
there's
the users
no 4
on
feet
Stein
there
Lane.
At all.
Right, so you can literally come to a stop. Now, other people said, I'm worried about being rear-ended. And for example, we have this horrible example just in Shamokin Dam from earlier this week of someone getting rear-ended into oblivion, right? So certainly but he was at a red light, right? So the fact that someone coming from behind you fails to stop is not really a reason to, sort of do other unsafe things. You shouldn't pay the unsafe forward. We all need to be working to make the streets safer.
All right, so the 4-foot rule, we talked about that in our first segment. We invite listeners to go back and catch that on our podcast. Rob Center will make sure that that's posted as soon as we're done discussing here. Let's talk about some other topics very briefly here. So first of all, I'm so glad that you're okay.
Thank you.
You know, I would, this is, well, anyway, we're certainly acquaintances in addition to being interview friends here. A radar enforcement, a bill's pending in Harrisburg that would, I think it's in the state house now, that would allow local police to use radar enforcement. A few thoughts about that. We have about 5 minutes left here, so we can address it a little.
I need that time limit stated. So radar enforcement, this comes up periodically, has come up and been defeated. It looks like it may make it through this time. I have a post about it on our website. It's not near the top, but if you go to news, you can scroll down and find Safe Streets for All, which gives some background on both last year's rendition of this and this year's and the kinds of AstroTurf letters to the editor that come out afterwards. We had some in the Daily Item recently where they complain about the idea of radar enforcement and say it's just a boondoggle and it doesn't make the road safer. They're all focused on highway safety, but this is about radar speed enforcement for local police. It's really about making our roads and streets safer. It's less about highway. I mean, it may literally be about a state road, which you can sometimes call a state highway, but it's really about, enforcement in places where you're very clearly making things safer by going a little bit slower. It's safer for both the drivers and for all other road users as well.
All right, so we're talking about like the River Road or even a Market Street in Lewisburg kind of thing where radar
yes.
might be helpful under
yes.
the right circumstances.
Exactly. I mean, River Road is a state highway, but in Lewisburg North, South, it's a local road. So, yeah, but it's basically could be Market Street west of Lewisburg. It basically is a tool for, it could be Stein Lane, you know, for people to, local law enforcement to try to crack down on speeding. This argument that, well, you know, it's an invasion of privacy, it's very easy not to get speeding tickets. You just don't speed. You know, it's just not that complicated.
All right. So radar enforcement. So Walk a Bike at Lewisburg supports radar enforcement?
We do.
For local police?
Yes, definitely. We're in favor of it. We occasionally get to borrow a radar gun from Bucknell's traffic engineering classes, and we can't use it to enforce, but we just gather data. It's really interesting and valuable.
Cell phone legislation, also a component in this bill or in a companion
no,
bill?
It's separate a separate one? Bill, okay. And its fate is much less clear. I was just in Harrisburg yesterday, and there's a long discussion of this in the Pedestrian Pedicycle Advisory Committee meeting. Basically, it's really hard. They're sort of everyone is very attached to their cell phones. So they're sort of, and there have been some things in the paper about this too, about the more exemptions you attach to this, well, it's for handheld devices, but, and it's, everyone agrees that people under 18 shouldn't be allowed to use them, but then what if, you know, you're using it for navigation, or what if this, what if that? It is unclear whether people, meaning legislators, are ready to go there. Partly, okay. It could be that the technology is not making it possible, right? We don't have enough hands-free options, and people are just terrified of the idea that they might have to navigate without their device. I personally don't navigate with a device, so.
Now that thought just disappeared. Rick Mason used to say, give your full attention to driving.
Definitely.
So.
I actually appreciate it. I mentioned the new driver in our house. My son, he very diligently doesn't even listen to the radio while we're driving and says, stop talking to me, I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do think that's valuable. You do need, really ought to be, using your attention specifically on the road.
Lewisburg traffic study. We talked about a July meeting. Does that look like that's going to happen? Or maybe
nope.
August would be better? August. Okay.
Yeah, well, actually,
or
they may
sometime
even,
later.
Right. It's not happening. It didn't happen earlier this week. And at this point, probably not August, just because that's a weird time. So they'll probably wait until September. But we don't have the finalized date yet that I'm aware of. There's just a lot of data to pull together and analyze. I think it's moving forward nicely. It's not that there have been any literal holdups or problems. It's just been, it was such a comprehensive study, you know.
Okay.
There's a lot going on with it.
Question still pops up, why do a Lewisburg traffic study? Let's go back to the mission statement for the study.
Well, so the study was prompted perhaps by all the truck traffic in Lewisburg, but it's also looking further ahead. This current bout of serious truck traffic in Lewisburg has been, we knew, temporary and sort of acute because of all the construction going on. But we also know that traffic projections, economic growth, industrial uses on the other side of the river from us are pushing us towards a large amount of truck traffic on a regular basis in the future. So this was looking at what can we be thinking about now, putting in place to mitigate and keep the community safer and more pleasant for everyone now.
All right. So, and is it leading to anything? You know, the conceptual idea of a bypass or another road access, something like that, down the road?
So that's a good question. This is not a design study. This is actually data gathering. So they have collected a huge amount of information about turning traffic and signals and speeds at many, many different times a day, vibration, all sorts of kinds of data over a long stretch extending into East Buffalo, out into across the river into Montana. And all of that has been collected. It will then lead, part of the next step will be to decide what to do with it. Does that mean we then need a design project? Does it mean we have like a policy ask? Does it mean we have sort of, will it guide us on our next step strategy? And that next step is not guaranteed to be a bricks and mortar project.
All right, real quickly, a floodplain bike ride in Lewisburg, the hidden Lewisburg bike ride around the floodplain?
Yep, starting on Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Borough Building, we're doing a hidden Lewisburg bike tour. We go really slow. There's something called a slow roll people sometimes do. This is even slower than a slow roll. We go 3 miles in about an hour and a half, and we stop and talk about things along the way.
All right, and around the periphery of the floodplain, I presume?
Yeah, we're going to zigzag. There's not really a good way to see it, but we're going to see all of downtown in the process.
Goes through people's property, I assume that line does. Thank you so much, as always.
Great Samantha, to be here. Thanks, Mark.
Samantha Pearson, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation, Elm Street Manager, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. On Facebook, the Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg page is there, and lewisburgneighborhoods.org.